Matthew chapter number 5. As you turn to Matthew chapter number 5, I want to read to you Isaiah chapter number 9. It says, For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given. Say, you're in the wrong passage. That's Christmas. We're not allowed to read. And the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. In Matthew chapter number 5, I don't know. This is the Sermon on the Mount. And in the Sermon on the Mount, I think when it was taught to me, it had such a major impact. It always, since then, has always been a special passage to me. I have those passages where, you know, when it was taught, maybe the teacher had a little bit more excitement about a certain passage, and it just kind of jumped off the page, maybe a story, a lesson, and it over the years had become a favorite of yours. Here we are some 20 years later, and how it was taught to me was, here's Jesus, and he takes his disciples up into a mount, and he takes his closest people, and he says, here's what I'm going to do. I'm going to explain to you what it's going to be like to be a disciple. I'm going to explain to you kind of what you're going to go through. And Christ just pours out his heart to his disciples. The first part of the Sermon on the Mount is what we call the Beatitudes, right? Blessed. I'm going to draw our attention to verse 9. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. What greater teacher for us to teach us about peace than the Prince of Peace, the Lord Jesus Christ? Hey, if you got questions, why don't you go to the authority? The Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. So this morning, as we go through the scriptures, we're going to allow the Lord, as best as we can, to allow God to teach us about peace. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for the opportunity to be able to open up your word. God, thank you for your love for us, as we just heard that song, we're reminded of how much you love us. God, thank you for being that Prince of Peace and that authority on peace. And Lord, help us to not just understand what it is to make peace with you, but also make peace where we are. God, help us to be makers of peace. Lord, bless this time now. Challenge our hearts, Lord. And I pray this all in Jesus' name. Amen. It's tough to talk about peace maybe sometimes in the midst of troubled times. Would we not agree? We see what's going on over there in Russia and Ukraine and go, man, this is not a peaceful time in our world. There's wars and rumors of wars. I was at Tops the other day, and there's a lady that works there, and she knows I'm a Christian, she's like, I walked in, I think it was Sunday night. Was it Sunday night, Sam? Do you remember? Sunday night. She's like, just the man I was looking for. I said, great. And she goes, look at this. And she showed me video, and you can take it for what it is, a video of sounds of fallen angels coming out of the dried up Euphrates River. I said, okay, that's great. I said, you know, and she came to this realization in her mind. She said, Jesus is coming soon. That I can agree with. Don't necessarily agree with the YouTube audio of fallen angels crying out from underneath the Euphrates. But needless to say, praise the Lord, she's thinking about prophecy and she's excited about the Lord's return. As we look at the horizon of what's coming, do you think you'll see the Lord's return in your lifetime? I sure do hope so. Say why? Because I'm going to cheat death one time. I would like that. It'd be nice this afternoon. I don't really have anything going on. I'm not sure how the Bills are going to do. Today would be a great day for the rapture. Say, what's got to happen before that? Not much. Just a trumpet blow and we are out of here. I'm ready for that. And as each day progresses, I look on the horizon and go, it's just not getting better. It's not doing better. We're not in a better way. Jesus, why don't you come back soon? And it's getting closer and closer. I know that. But in the midst of all these troubles, God gives us this gift. A real gift, I'll say. Ever get a gift and you look at it and go, I didn't want this. And you were hoping that the receipt is in the package, right? I'm going to return this. Or I have one of these. Hey, in the midst of a upside down world, the gift of peace is quite remarkable. There's a reality of a battle and a spiritual battle. And when war is active, I'll tell you, you know what the people of Ukraine want right now? Peace. They want peace. Why? Because they're in the midst of a war. When war is active, peace is longed for. What is needed are some peacemakers. I want you to get a hold of that thought here today. I think I said it in our, and I'll say it again. I think I wrote this in the preface this morning. But we know joy is a choice. We saw how praise is a choice. But you know what else is a choice? Peace. Blessed are the peacemakers. That indicates to me, if I take those two words apart and I kind of switch them around, the makers of peace. Some of you are familiar with makers of trouble, right? We call those troublemakers. Maybe there was one in school. Maybe there was a problem. Maybe there's a neighbor that just wants to rile everybody, going against the, you know, the, what are those called? The HOAs? Is that the thing where you have a, anyways, troublemakers. School, work, wherever it is. Hey, you know what Christians ought to be? Peacemakers. First and foremost, Romans chapter number 5. Today's message, it's a simple message. 3 points. There are some sub-points, so I will warn you. But needless to say, a simple message. One main thought, blessed are the peacemakers. Romans chapter 5 and verse 1. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. Hey, if you're going to make peace with anybody, first and foremost is God Himself. So how do I do that? The Bible tells us, being justified. That means God treating us or looking at us as if we had committed no crime, had committed no sin, just as if I had never sinned. How is that even possible? By faith, we can have peace with God. Otherwise, God is going to be our judge. I promise you, you don't want that. You don't want to be judged according to your works. You don't want to be judged according to what you have done. Those that reject Christ will be judged of their works. We certainly don't want that. Because there's nothing we could do good enough. There's not enough that we could do to take away the penalty of our sin. So how do I make peace with someone that is non-negotiable? Well, I do what he says. I put my faith and trust in, it comes through the Lord Jesus Christ. It doesn't come through me. Number one, blessed are the peacemakers. Number one, how about you make peace with God? Make peace with God. There's torment in a person's heart and in their life when they're at odds with probably another, right? No one likes to live in a house or live in a place where those two people are at odds. It's not good when brothers are at odds. It's not good when spouses are at odds, right, Mrs. Bayer? It's not good. It's just not a friendly environment. It's not where you want to live. How about being at odds with God? Hey, there's some conflict going on between creation and creator. And the best thing that we could do is be a peacemaker. You know what? I'm not going to try and bring God down to me. I'm just going to humble myself and say, I don't want to fight against what you're trying to do in my heart. We see that kind of similar in Acts chapter 9 where the Lord meets with Saul. We talked about this last Sunday night. And he says, Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? It wasn't like Paul says, hey, let me explain some things to you, God. No, Paul chose a wise choice in making peace. See, salvation also is a choice. And if you choose to make peace with God, hey, you're in a better place. Your sins are forgiven personally by God. And now there's no enmity anymore. He says that before we met him, we are enmity. After, he calls us friends and sons, children. Man, what a change. Number one, blessed are the peacemakers. If you've not made peace with God, make that your priority, personally. You're going to have to come to God, like we just sang, say, what a weird song that was the choir sang this morning. I'm so glad I got lost so I could be found. Well, spiritually speaking, that's what you needed. Number one, you got to acknowledge that you're a sinner in need of a Savior. Otherwise, this is just an event in history. It has no personal application. That's what we're talking about here. Someone along the line, you're going to have to humble yourself and say, Christ, I need you for salvation. That's only through Christ. And with that, we can make peace with God personally. But don't just stop there. Making peace with God, look at 2 Corinthians chapter number 5. We immediately are commissioned. 2 Corinthians chapter number 5 and verse 17. Therefore, if any man be in Christ, what is he? He is a new creature. Yep. Isn't that a blessing? Yep. New creature. From the inside out. That's how it starts. Sometimes it's difficult to tell on the outside because it looks like the same person. I was talking to someone this morning and, man, they shared a great blessing with me. Last night, I got assurance of my salvation. Isn't that a blessing? Young person, just, I settled this thing. Man, praise the Lord. But on the outside, you wouldn't know. Looked like they did last night. Bible says, though, that we're a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new. What happened? Got a new heart. Got a new mind. Got a new perspective. Got a new purpose. Got new goals. Hopefully, you'll get new friends. Get new guidance. All of that. You're a new creature. You're heading in a new direction. All things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself by Jesus Christ. God says, through Christ, peace is made with the Father. Hey, praise the Lord for that. But now we're immediately commissioned. As we finish the verse, it says this, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. This young person that shared this great news this morning, you know what? Someone went to them and said, are you sure you're saved? What happened? Someone took on the ministry of reconciliation. Say, what does that mean? That means someone was caring about someone else's soul and said, hey, I'm going to be a peacemaker. Say, how so? I'm going to help you make peace with God. That's the ministry of reconciliation. It's not just personal, it's evangelistic in nature. And all the things are of God who hath reconciled us to himself, it says in verse 18, by Christ or Jesus Christ, and hath given to us the ministry of reconciliation. You know, sometimes we'll have a sign up. Who wants to help in the nursery or who wants to do this? There's no sign up. If you're saved, you're immediately put into the ministry of reconciliation. What is that? Peacemakers. Trying to help people get to God so that they can make peace with their Creator. To wit, that God was in Christ, reconciling the world unto himself, not imputing their trespasses unto them, and hath committed unto us the word of reconciliation. Verse 20, now then we are ambassadors for Christ. Hey, if you got in on salvation, you're immediately put into a place of authority. Say, what is that? You have been commissioned with as an ambassador. When we were traveling internationally, and there we were, and there were lines going through customs, and it said, people that, I don't know the exact wording, people that want to come in the country that aren't citizens, and then it had this special lane with nicer carpet and a smiling face at the end, diplomats. Wish I could go through that line. It looked a little less problematic. Mrs. Rice, that would have been nice to be able to send you through the diplomat side. Kept you out of the whatever that was. What are they? Those are some special people. Ambassadors. Hey, when a country is at war, what's the first thing they do? They pull out these ambassadors. They pull out these people that are of high authority. You know what God says? The minute you put your faith and trust in me, I'm going to make you ambassador. You're going to be a peacemaker. Your job is the ministry of reconciliation. That peace that I made with you, how that person helped you come to me, I now send you out to go help people make peace with me. Blessed are the peacemakers. How are you at making peace? Have you made peace with God? Are you helping others make peace with God? The ministry of reconciliation. You know, I think it's in England, their cabinet and things. It's called ministry. The ministry of this, or the, you know, ours is the, you know, the cabinet. The ministry of, hey, the division of Christianity. What's behind that door? The ministry of reconciliation. We're all in it. Blessed are the peacemakers. Have you made peace personally with the Lord? Are you helping others make peace? There's going to be a common thread that flows through the entire message, and I've really been asking the Lord how and when to say certain things, because I have a certain thought that I feel like the Lord has laid on my heart. But again, I kind of hinted at it a little bit about troublemakers. Hey, if there's a peacemaker, there's also a troublemaker. And in light of the things that what we just talked about, are you helping people come to Christ and make peace with God? Or are you living a testimony where it's making it hard for others to make right with the Lord? I know in our house, or as a kid growing up, I could make trouble or I could make peace. When mom gave instruction, I could either kick against that or I could welcome it. Hey, when the Lord gives us instruction, what are we going to do? Are we going to be peacemakers? Are we going to be troublemakers? In each part, there's both sides of it, and each are a choice. Well, that's just who I am. No. To make peace is a choice. Yesterday afternoon, the kids were home. Anybody ever get that, I think it's from Aldi's or something, just a thing of pizza dough, right? Is that what we got? And we get it from Aldi's? I don't know how much it is, whatever. A couple things of pizza dough. Kids came home from the tournament in which if you have not heard, we won, which is great. And so we were excited about that. The girls did a great job with that. And there they were, and the kids, they were famished. They hadn't eaten in 6 weeks or so. And there they were, and they were making their own pizza. And they're picking their toppings, and they picked on what kind of sauce they wanted on there, and what kind of cheese. We had different kinds of cheese, and that thing came out, and they enjoyed that. Do you understand that's how peace is? I'm going to make a choice here. I'm going to put some things together here, and at the end, the Bible says, blessed are the peacemakers. Not just, I encourage you to be a peacemaker. God says, there's a blessing associated with being a peacemaker. Hey, we know that there are eternal rewards for helping people come to Christ. God says, I got a blessing for you. I promise you, according to the promises of God, that if we do what He says, it's going to be better than if we didn't. Blessed are the peacemakers. Number two, Psalm 119. Psalm 119. Number one, we need to make peace with God. Making peace with God. Psalm 119, verse 165. We know that Psalm 119 is about the Word of God. And the Bible says, great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Great peace have they which love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Do you understand that the closer and the more we allow or saturate ourselves with the Word of God, the greater peace we will have within our hearts? When someone's in great conflict or turmoil, it's pretty much easy to identify. I ever go to the doctor and, man, I'm just not feeling well. Well, what's the problem? Well, I got a couple of these ailments. And they look at you, well, it could be this, it could be that, it could be this, it could be that. We're going to have to run some tests. We're going to have to do some blood work. We're going to have to do some scans. And we should know what's the problem in about 6 months. It's like, oh, man. When someone comes to me and says, Pastor, I'm really struggling. I'm just wrestling with some things. I just don't feel to be on the same page as the Lord. That's a great cue to just ask about Bible. Have you been in your Bible? And if they're honest, chances are, if we're honest, hey, if we have great struggles within our heart and within our faith, there's two things that are really struggling. That's our communication with God, in both Bible reading and prayer. Bible says, great peace have them that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. I'm just in such turmoil. I'm just upside down. Hey, evaluate in your own life. The closer you get to the Lord, the more desire you have for the Word of God. And when this is saturated in our hearts and in our minds, I promise you, you have a different outlook on things. There'll be peace that can't be afforded any other way. Proverbs chapter number 3. Proverbs 3. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. Proverbs 3:1. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. Well, I want the peace of God. Great. Get into the Word of God. Well, that's a little tough. You know, I just don't have time for that. Then you don't want the peace of God. Blessed are the peacemakers. Make time for the Word of God. I'm just going to say his name here. I was talking to Brother Van. He gets up at 3:30 in the morning and starts praying and starts reading. Brother Van. And then he hits the streets. He's out there and he's talking. Why does this man have such a sweet spirit? Doesn't he have ailments? I'm sure he does. How old are you, Brother Van? 83. 84 in November. You can almost see it. Why does he get such a sweet spirit? Great peace have them that love thy law, and nothing shall offend them. Man gets up at 3:30 in the morning. What are you doing at 3:30? I'll tell you what we're doing. Unless you're working trick work, you're sleeping. I'm not saying you got to get up at 3:30. It's just an example of loving the Word of God. Isaiah 26. Look at this. Isaiah 26. Isaiah 26:3. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee because he trusteth in thee. How can I be thinking about what is a great tool to help me think about the Lord Jesus Christ all the time and God and where I should be and where he should be? The Word of God. And if it says, thou wilt keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on thee. Well, I'm just anxious all the time, and I'm just struggling all the time, and I got turmoil and tribulation and troubles. Hey, I'm not saying that just reading your Bible is going to necessarily change your circumstances around you all the time. But I'm saying our devotion to God and His Word will do this in the midst of turmoil around us, will give us peace. That's what it says. Thou wilt keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on thee. Blessed are the peacemakers. Are you making peace in your life? Say, how do I do that? I sure would like that. I feel like my heart, my mind, I'm just up and down, up and down. It's a roller coaster sometimes. I have such a short temper. I just struggle with just trusting the Lord. How about some dedication to the Word of God? I think it was Friday night, talking to a lady, and she's like, do you know that you can listen to your Bible? I said, well, I don't know what you're talking about. they're like, you know, like you could put it on in your car when you're driving, and there's like people that'll read the Bible to you. I said, yeah, that's pretty. And she's like, I love it. I just hook it up in my car, and when we drive, we just are listening to the Word of God. When I'm cleaning at the house, I just put it on, and I'm taking care of stuff, or I'm doing this, or I'm doing that, and just, I've read my Bible, but now I'm getting to hear the Bible read, and it's just keeping those thoughts. Man, how great. I want to be a peacemaker. Well, that's a decision. Great peace have they that love thy law. If I'm going to be a peacemaker, I'm going to have some desire for the Word of God in my life. Have I trusted in Him? Hey, you struggle with doubts and trusting the Lord? Struggling with peace? Get back to the book. I'm not talking about Facebook. That'll cause trouble. Which brings us to our next point. Blessed are the peacemakers, number one, with God, number two, with His Word. Number three, Blessed are the peacemakers with troubles. Just like I said, just like joy and peace, or joy and praise, peace is a choice. Colossians 3:15 says this. You can turn there. All right, we'll turn there. I heard pages turning. While you're turning, I want to say this tonight. Maybe we'll take maybe in your mind this afternoon, be thinking about some blessings. Maybe tonight in service we can take some testimonies and blessings. Just something to encourage one another of what the Lord is doing in our life, around us. Colossians 3:15, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye thankful. Peacemakers, let the peace of God rule in your hearts. Go with me to John chapter 16. John chapter 16, look at verse 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. Who's speaking this? Christ. John 16, 33. These things have I spoken unto you, that in me ye might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world. Hey, even though the world is nuts around us, my brother-in-law is a police officer for Rochester. Rick, here, how's business, Rick? Busy. Yeah, busy. This world is crazy around us. I read something this last week. It's wrong for a boy to play cowboys and Indians, but it's okay for him to say he's a woman. What on earth? It's just craziness going on out there. Say, how do I deal with all that? How do I have peace in my heart? Well, it's only through Christ. How do we deal with peace in the midst of troubles? World's whipping around us. Well, it's a choice. Blessed are the peacemakers. So are you going to choose to make peace in the midst of tribulation? Are you going to choose to make peace in the midst of troubles? How about in our own life? We can all do things that complicate matters. And we all know how to do this very well. We can make any situation worse. At the same time, there are things that we can do to create peace. Hey, when the midst of trouble is going on around us, what are we doing? Are we adding to the trouble or are we diffusing trouble? So what should I do? Well, Psalm chapter 9. Psalm 9. Psalm 9 and verse 9, it says this, "The Lord also will be my refuge for the oppressed, a refuge in times of trouble. And they that know thy name will put their trust in thee." This is Psalm 9, verse 10. "For thou, Lord, hast not forsaken them that seek thee." Say, what am I supposed to do when this world is insane around me? And God, you've promised me peace. You're the Prince of Peace. You said that you offer peace in the midst of tribulation. What do I do in the midst of troubles? Well, you run to God. You run to the Lord. Hey, if you're going to try and solve these things on your own, you're not going to make anything better. You got to run to the Lord. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3. After speaking to so many of you over these years, and as you pour out your heart and tell me personally things that you're going through, I really wish, and you've probably heard me say these words, I wish I had a magic wand that I could change your circumstances. I don't have one of those. But I can offer this, that in the midst of troubles and trials and difficulties, in the midst of all of this, I encourage you to go to the Lord because He offers peace. We can't change our circumstances, but praise the Lord, God offers help in the midst of those troubles. 2 Thessalonians chapter number 3 and verse 16. "Now the Lord of peace Himself give you peace always by all means. The Lord be with you all." Hey, isn't that a blessing? God can use your difficult situation in the midst of that, and God can do things that no man can do. He can offer peace in the midst of troubles. So what do? We run to the Lord. Number two, look at Philippians chapter number four. Philippians 4 says this, "Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God." Hey, in the midst of troubles in your life, what do? Well, I try and solve them. I'm going to try and fix these things. How about you run to the Lord, pray, say, what good does prayer do? "And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus." He'll keep you from going crazy. That's what it just said. Hey, some of the difficulties that are going through your homes and that you personally are going through, without the Lord, will put you in the loony bin. So I don't know what to do. This thing's a mess around me. Hey, bring it to God. Bring your cares to the Lord. He says, "I've got something I can offer you, peace, that will keep your hearts and minds." Man, that's what I need. What do when we're in the midst of trouble? Well, we run to the Lord for peace. We pray for peace. How about this? Galatians chapter number 5. Galatians 5. And you do right and you walk with the Lord. Look at Galatians 5:22. "But the fruit of the Spirit," to walk in the Spirit, to be doing right by the things of God. Hey, you're going to fight against the things of God, you're going to have some consequences in your life. There's going to be things that show up in your life that just aren't good. But the Bible says this, "But the fruit of the Spirit is love, joy, peace." Doesn't the Lord know I'm in the midst of troubles? Yes. And in the midst of troubles, He can offer peace. Whirlwind going on around you. But He keeps our hearts and minds through Christ in peace. That's you personally. What about the lives around you? Look at Romans chapter number 12. And we're almost done. Romans 12. Ever feel like when you read your Bible, just talking humanly speaking, you read some of those things and go, "Man, I don't know, Lord, that's really hard. I'm not sure you understand mankind today. I'm not sure you're aware of what's going on around us. The things that whole love your enemy, that's really tough, right?" Ever see that? Ever read that and just kind of not question the Lord, but know personally, this is going to be harder than what you just read the black and white pages and it's like, "Oh yeah, sure, no problem." And then, but you know in your mind and in your life, that's going to be a lot harder than it says. You know, it's kind of like those instructions. Okay, just put, as you watch, ever watch mechanic videos, try and save yourself some money, right? And they always work on a vehicle right off the assembly line. Everything's greased. Everything's new. There's no rust. And the guy's like, "All right, you just take a 8mm and just," and he like does it by hand and undoes that thing. And you're like, "I know in my vehicle it doesn't look like that. And it's going to be a lot harder. That's going to take about 30 minutes to get that thing off." And sometimes you read the Word of God and you're like, "Lord, do you know where we're at with this?" When I read Romans 12:18, I know God knows what's going on. He starts it by saying in Romans 12:18, "If it be possible," kind of like, "I know this is going to be difficult for you. If it be possible, as much as lieth within you, live peaceably with all men." He almost kind of prefaces it like, "Yeah, this is going to be tough. But blessed are the peacemakers." What about people that are troublesome? Are people ever troublesome? Oh, no. No. No trouble at all. We're all in the same race together. We're encouraging one another. We're helping each other along the way. Great. I'm glad that's how you feel. That's not how it always goes. So what do we do? What do we do when troubles are around us and they're starting to come in? Number one, we looked at what to do in our own personal life. But number two, how about troubles around us? Hey, troubles around us can be frustrating. That can be frustrations. They can be maybe slander, even personal bad decisions that you've made or others have made around you that are now impacting you. I'll tell you this. What's easy is to point out the problem. People make millions and millions of dollars for having a radio show and telling us simply all the problems. Let me tell you what the problem with this president is. Let me tell you about what the, here's what the governor's doing. Well, if it was easy, sir, why don't you run for president and fix all this? Well, no one will vote for me. I'm too cutting edge. Whatever. If I was the head of the police, I would do. If I was in charge of the school district, sure. It's real easy pointing out all the problems. When I read Matthew chapter 5 and verse 9, it doesn't say, blessed are the pointer outer of problems. Say, is that really a person? Well, it just became. It says, blessed are the peacemakers. I know there's troubles. I know there's problems. I know they've dropped the ball. I know they've made mistakes. I know they've said things that they shouldn't. But are you making peace? Or are you making it harder? Do you make more trouble? Or are you a maker of peace? Often in our desire to maybe even prove ourselves, I'm going to let this thing go just so I can show them I was right. Hey, if that's your approach with your children, you're going to have a rough go. Try and make peace. Think back to the example of Christ. Think about all the troubles that he came his way. All the conflicts that showed up on his front door. And what did Christ do? The Prince of Peace. Every person that walked away was given an opportunity. So what does Christ call us to do? To make peace. I'm telling you the easy thing. The easy thing, Jacob, is to point out the trouble. Bad decision over there. You know what? I'm just going to sit back. I'm going to stay as far away from that thing as possible. And I'm just going to watch that thing implode. And then when it's all done, I'll come through and say, I told you so. I don't think that's a peacemaker. I think a peacemaker is kind of like a fireman that in the midst of a burning building runs in to see how they can help. In the midst of difficulty in people's lives, are we running in to see if we can help? When troubles come, do you look to make peace? God said, blessed are the peacemakers. What kind of blessings can I expect? Minimizing conflict in your life, minimizing conflicts in others. And there's a blessing from the Lord that only He grants. So as we think about these things, it's a simple verse. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. So I'm going to ask you in your own heart, have you made peace with God? Have you made peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ? Are you part of the ministry of reconciliation, helping others make peace with God? Number two, have you made peace with His Word? Great peace have they that love Thy law. Number three, do you have peace in the midst of troubles in your own life? Say, what am I supposed to do when the whole world is going to crazy? Run to the Lord. Come to Him in prayer. Walk with Him daily. How about those that are around me? In our own house, we really try and encourage our kids. Yeah, I know that this situation was difficult But you cannot respond in the same way. Are you looking to make peace? Are you looking to diffuse the problem or cause more trouble? And sometimes in our own Christian walk, the easy thing isn't the right thing. Mom, look at what they did. Hold on a second. Yes, that was not right. But could you have helped? Could you have run in the midst of a burning building and tried to fix things? Or are you just a tattletale? Let's all stand. Blessed are the peacemakers. Making peace is a choice. And God blesses it. In a moment, we're going to have a time invitation. I'm pretty sure, I know in my own life, there's been times when I took a situation and I didn't make it better. And looking back, can I tell you, it grieves my heart. Because there were things I could have done and I didn't. So I'm going to ask you here today, are there times, is there situations going on, is there a mentality and an attitude of peacemaker? I'm going to do my best. I know there's troubles around me. I know I work in an imperfect world. I know I'm surrounded by... But are you making things better? Are you trying to bring peace? Maybe you need to ask the Lord for help this morning. In a moment, we'll pray. The altars will be open. Heavenly Father, thank you for this time. Thank you for your word. Lord, such a simple little verse. Blessed are the peacemakers. But Lord, we struggle. As we heard in Sunday school, our flesh, oh, it's so easy to appease the flesh. God, it is difficult sometimes to walk in the Spirit. Lord, help us with these things. Bless this time of invitation now in Jesus' name. Amen. As the music plays, would you consider the message here this morning? Blessed are the peacemakers. Hey, what's going on in your life? Well, I'll fix it. Why don't you just run to the Lord and pray to Him and talk to Him? Why don't you try walking with Him? What's going on around you? Maybe you're dealing with a lot of frustration and slander. Maybe you're dealing with the bad decisions others made. Well, I'm just gonna let that go. I'm gonna let that thing explode. How about you trying to help? How about you trying to help? It's a simple thought, but it should carry with us everywhere we go.